This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Crows and Whiskey Myers with special guest South Hall are bringing their Southern Hospitality Tour to Merriweather Post Pavilion on June 16th. Tickets are on sale now, a Live Nation show. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets, courtesy of Live Nation.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Colton Cowser continues to struggle at the plate this year with a 200 batting average and 20 strikeouts in 55 at-bats. As a result, his play time is starting to decrease. He was absent from the starting lineup for all three games against Boston, but did make two pinch hitting appearances. It's not the first time this year he's been left on the bench, though, even against right-handed pitching, which has led some to ask Mike Elias if the team would ever consider sending Cowser down to AAA.
I wouldn't say anything like that. I mean, you know, he's frustrated. You know, right now he's helping us, and we need him on the team. So I think we're too early to judge individual performances in a positive or negative direction too severely at this point in the calendar.
The O's will start up a three-game series with the Astros this evening. Shane Baz is scheduled to start for Baltimore, while Houston will go with an opener in Kaiwei Tang. First pitch at 6:35. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, cloudy skies with temps around 60 all afternoon. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
You ate turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
All right, time to feed you some more football. NFL lunch style. It's Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The draft is over. Nick's on the Window Nation guest hotline, and let's bring him in. First of all, Nick, thanks for joining us on The Fan. I hope you're feeling good on this Turn It Up Tuesday.
Absolutely, guys. How are we doing?
Doing all right. And we'll talk about a guy that dropped significantly in the draft over the weekend. And first-round talent, injuries were well-documented. Jermon McCoy, cornerback out of Tennessee. But fourth-round droppage, what was the reason, Nick, that he fell that far? We know with the knee, and now there's plugs and procedures. I'm not smart enough to put my shoes on half the time. But why the fourth round, and will the Raiders be getting a red shirt year out of him when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think that there's uncertainty on a couple levels. Number one, obviously long-term with the knee, there was some generative, you know, like, is this going to be a chronic situation that can't really be fully repaired, you know, via surgery? I think there was also some concern that something that was done with the previous surgery needed a redo, so they might need to go back into it and do it again. So that was the other part of it. The long-term question about when, you know, how long is he going to be available as an NFL player? And then when is he going to be available would be the other part of it too. So, and the other factor I think that works against, it's just the cornerback thing. Like, I think that this happens if you're a corner that has any kind of injury question, teams just move on to the next guy. It's, you know what I mean? They don't have any problem doing it. Corners get bumped down. But like you said, fourth round was pretty far. And so to me, I think that could be a bit of a steal there. That was a far down the list, because if we're not talking about the knee with him, you know, pure talent and physicals alone, I mean, he would have been number one on the board for corners. So we'll see how it goes.
Now, Nick, I thought that, Reuben Bain Jr. I didn't think he was going 15 in any mock because, you know, there was Dallas and a Kansas City teams that needed pass rushers. They let him go by.
Yeah, I think a lot of those teams ended up, you know, moving in different directions with different positions that we thought. Obviously, it wasn't just the Rams going with, you know, Ty Simpson there. The Titans kind of started the whole thing there when they went with Carnell Tate. Yeah. And then we saw, obviously, Jordan Tyson got back in there into the first round. Delane went pretty high. So, guys started to fall. And to me, it's probably, the question about, you know, they like some other guys in front of them. But also, I got to think that there were some teams up there in the top 15 that just didn't like him because of the length and the concerns with that as an edge. But, you know, I do think, you know, the Bucs got a steal. But also, I think that that's a perfect place for him to go. I mean, if anybody's going to know what to do with him, it's Todd Bowles and his defensive staff. So I thought that was a great landing spot for Bain, and he didn't seem happy. He seemed pretty angry, ready to prove some folks wrong. So maybe that'll be a good fit there.
Hey, Nick, how surprised are you that Cleveland is going to play Spencer Fanoh at left tackle?
Not surprised. No, not at all. I had somebody tell me a while ago that he could have played everything. You know, I think if you gave him enough time, you know, he certainly could have been a guard. If you gave him enough time to learn how to snap, he could have been a center. I think that was something that a lot of teams looked at as even, you know, is he going to be a guard for us, right or left tackle? I don't think it mattered. It could be either or. And then it was the same. It was a different conversation, but similar with Maui Noah, where he's going to, I think, maybe even play some guard there as well, but I guess we'll see with him. But for no, it doesn't surprise me at all. He has the athleticism to do either. It just so happened to be what they had worked out there at Utah.
How surprised were you that Love went three?
A little bit, but not shocked, because I think that, you know, that was one of those teams. The Cardinals are one of those teams that, you know, you look at the logic behind it and you say they should probably do something else. But then you remember who their owner is, and, you know, I mean, like, that they've done this before where, you know, we're going to be bad, we need to sell tickets. I mean, you know, that could have been part of it, too. It's hard to discount that with the Cardinals given their history. But I love Jeremiah Love, no pun intended. He was number one player on my board. I just thought for a team like the Cardinals, and I would have said the same thing for, like, the Titans, you know, he could probably get some more value in some other areas. It just it might not be paying off as much given how bad you are right now. Based on, you know, what he can give you. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, he's a pretty special player, so if anybody could make it happen, it's him.
Nick, I would think that the two New York teams were probably two of the better drafts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the Giants, you know, obviously set themselves up before the draft, you know, with that big trade there. I thought that was really smart, obviously, number one. But then the ability to just kind of take over some of the Ravens' philosophy, I felt like, you know, of – we're just going to sit there and take the best player. You know, Reese fell. They took him. You know, Maui Noah was there. They took him. The same thing with Colton Hood. I thought he was kind of like sliding, and he was just a really good player. It didn't really matter if it was like what the need was, whatever else it was. I saw John Harbaugh also said, somebody asked him, you know, drafting Arvell Reese, does that mean you're going to trade Thibodeau? And he's like, no, we don't get rid of good players. We make it work here, you know. So I thought they did a great job of sort of heading in their new direction, and they could be a team that really makes a turn here. And then you look at the Jets, and I think same thing. I mean, I love the idea to be bold enough to take Sadiq at 16. I had talked about that several times for like a month out. They, you know, the Jets had talked about receiver, you know, people inside the whatever. But like when Tyson was gone, I was like, you don't need to take Mekhi Lemon or one of these guys. I mean, I don't know if he was even there or even reach on another receiver. Take Sadiq and get another receiver later, which they did with Cooper. So. And I got Daniel Jalil-Pons, who was kind of like Aaron Glenn Jr. there. So I thought that was really good.
Now, is there a team that you like when you look at after the drafts and you said, I really didn't like much they did?
Yeah, the Jaguars had a weird draft. They had a weird draft to begin with, you know, kind of with they didn't have a first-round pick, but they did have four there in the top 100. I thought they kind of reached on a couple of guys – Jalen Husky there at number 100 was a bit of a reach. And then I didn't really, a lot of their stuff didn't really make sense. They took multiple receivers and multiple tight ends. I know they want to go into some more of the 13 personnel, but I felt like they had some other areas where they could have maybe attacked. And then a team that I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. The Vikings took some good players, no question. You know, Jake Golday's great. Dominique Orange is great. But they also took Caleb Banks, who could be great at 18. And, you know, I mean, that might not work out. You know, I don't know. You know, he might get two foot injuries in a year. That might not work out. I thought they reached on a safety there as well, Jacoby Thomas. And as much as I love Max Bredesen, the fullback, I'm not sure if that was exactly the type of value they were looking for either. Those guys could be good players, but I'm not sure what the plan necessarily is there right now either.
Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Feed us a football, NFL lifestyle. Nick, last thing for you. We know Benga's a home run for the Ravens at 14, yeah. But Zion Young, pick number 45. Did the Ravens get themselves a first-round talent in the second round with this guy?
Yes, absolutely, and I think it was a classic Baltimore pick. I thought he and Jacoby Lane and even Elijah Surratt were pretty classic Baltimore picks in that they just took the guy that was the best player standing out. Zion Young was a top 30 player on my board. I think he was a top 30 player on a lot of boards. It just worked out, you know, positionally in front of him that he was sliding down, and then you get into that conversation where it's like, Team X needs an edge, and they like the other guy like 1% better, so he goes there. And I thought it was just another example of that. I mean, Young is huge. He's one of the biggest edges in this class. Great length, great size. He can play multiple spots. I think Jesse Minter can do a ton of stuff with him. I thought, once again, this was a really good Ravens draft. They even got value on day three. I thought Josh Cuevas and even Rashawn Benny were really good picks. So Matthew Hibner, too, the tight end, I thought was good as well. So another good Ravens draft all the way through.
Nick, how many times are you going to say the name Arch Manning over the next 12 months?
1,000. I think 1,000. We said it a lot last year, too, but, you know, he's going to hold up his end of the bargain this time, but we'll see.
I'll tell you what, Nick, don't forget about C.J. Carr, I think, is going to be a riser.
Yes, very, very interested player, yes.
Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic. Nick, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your post-draft rest, if you want to call it that, and we'll catch up with you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, fellas, take care.
There's Nick Baumgartner, everybody, from The Athletic. We're to come back. American League East report talking about what happened in the division last night. Preview tonight's games. Orioles are taking on the Astros. 6:30, Birds back on the diamond after dropping two in a row to the Red Sox, losing a series to the last-place team. And the Astros come in last place in their division. And more draft talk coming your way. Again, if you don't know these guys by heart by the time we get to minicamp, you have no one to blame but yourself.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Orioles start a series against Houston Astros. Is this the week they get a win streak going? We'll ask Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBC crew, Mike Bordick, if they can get going offensively and pitching-wise. And we continue to ask people their opinion of the Ravens draft. NFL.com draft expert Chad Ryder joins the show.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, everybody, it's your friend Bob Haney here, and are you seeing the prices at the grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up, but listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at giant food stores, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? A family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought, there was a smarter way to do this, and I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now. Use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out anytime to your bank account or an e-gift card for Amazon or other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited time promo code CHARM15 for a $10 bonus on your first purchase at any giant food store. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. Sponsored by Petro. For the best AC system tune-up and repair services, go with your local HVAC pros. Go with Petro. Visit Petro.com or call 844-482-2496 today.
There is a managerial move, Major League Baseball, today, before we get to the American League East and beyond. Rob Thompson out in Philly. Phillies right now tied for last in the National League East with the Mets, whose manager, Carlos Mendoza, might not be long for his job as well. But Alex Cora was fired by the Red Sox over the weekend, along with most of his staff. And according to our buddy Bob Nightingale, future Hall of Fame baseball writer, Alex Cora was actually offered the Phillies job. He turned it down, wanted to spend time with his family. And I don't blame him. Let the Red Sox pay that nut for the next 5 months. So Don Mattingly ascends from coach to interim manager. So Rob Thompson, second manager fired. Season started March 26th, so we're a little more than a month into it, but we're not into May yet. And two managers have already lost their positions here in the majors. So teams aren't messing around, especially playoff teams from last year who have gotten off to extremely slow, slower than anticipated starts. Another one of those teams, Astros, maybe not the world championship level team they've been for the last decade plus, but Joe Espada could be on the hot seat. Houston comes to town, 11-18 on the year, 3-10 on the road. Kaiwei Tang will be the opener for them, who's pitched really well out of the bullpen. Right-hander, 1-1 with a 2.16. 6:35 first pitch for the Orioles, 13-15 on the year, 7-8 at home. Shane Boz is still looking for his first win in an Orioles uniform. Got his contract extension, so he's ready to rock and roll in regards to the finances. Orioles have already lost two starters. Zach Eplin for the year with Tommy John surgery, and Dean Kramer with the quad, going to be out for an extended period of time. So trying to navigate through some things. Is Trevor Rogers, their ace, he has struggled as of late. Chris Bassett has been on the struggle bus for a lot of this season. Still early, as we like to say, but Orioles have had their share of problemos. We've talked about the defense multiple times, the inconsistent offense, the small ball that they don't seem capable of doing on a consistent basis. I mean, they lost 17-1 on Saturday. I mean, that's just, it's only one loss in the standings, but it felt like a demoralizing defeat. Then they come back and follow it up Sunday, losing right after Boston had fired their manager. So that was a disappointing series for them, especially after starting it off the way that they did, impressively blowing out the Red Sox on Friday night. Now, elsewhere in the division, at least last night, Tampa Bay, those fighting Rays, man, they just keep fighting. And they took on the Guardians last night and, again, found a way to win.
Up the middle. They'll send Palacios, and Kwan's throw is cut off. The lead delivers, and the Rays have their first lead of the game at 3-2.
Rays TV on the call. That was the final score. Velaid had two ribbies last night for the Tampa Bay Rays. Jonathan Rondon hit a home run that tied it up. Steven Matz He's 4-1. Run average a little elevated, but 4-1 is what it is. And Brian Baker, seventh save, Nolan. Former Oriole Brian Baker, now the closer in Tampa, picks up the save. The Rays have won 5 consecutive games. We'll get to the standings here in a second. Speaking of Boston, after the Orioles pulled their pants down and spanked that ass red on Friday, they won 3 in a row, even after whacking their manager, including last night against Dylan Cease and the Blue Jays.
2-2. There's a shot driven out to left field. That's deep. That's sailing back. And it's out of here. Home run, Carlos Narvaez. And that was a bullet. His second home run of the season.
Nesson on the call. Narvaez, as you heard, he goes deep. Ranger Suarez, who I wanted the Orioles to make a run at. And after a rocky start to his Red Sox career, stabilized a little bit, including last night. 8 innings, 1 hit, shutout baseball, 10 strikeouts. As Boston, as we said, won their 3rd in a row, Dylan Cease takes the L. 5-0. Final score, Red Sox over the Blue Jays. And the Yankees in Texas take it on the Rangers. And the Yankees, they just keep beating up on baseballs here.
Ben Rice, driven into left center field. That ball is gone. A 2-run home run for Rice the other way. Drilled to left field and deep. That ball is gone. See ya. A home run for Judge as the Yankees go back to back and take a 3-0 lead.
That's a yes on the call. Ben Rice, Aaron Judge, first Yankee teammates to have 10 home runs in April since Yogi Berra and Mickey Mantle back in 1956. Jazz Chisholm went deep as well. Max Fried, 6 shutout innings as he picks up his 4th win with 5 Ks. So New York wins 4-2 over Texas in Arlington tonight in the division. Tampa's at Cleveland, Boston at Toronto again, Yankees at the Rangers, and Houston is here in Baltimore starting this 3-game series. Yankees game and a half up on Tampa. Orioles are 5.5 out, Toronto 6.5, Boston is 7 in the Central. Tigers half game up on Cleveland, Minnesota 2 back. White Sox, and you saw your boy went deep again last night for Chicago, Nolan.
Quit throwing them fastballs.
Yeah.
Stop.
12 home runs.
How many strikeouts? 50? What's he up to now?
Kansas City's in last place, but they won 3 in a row. A's game and a half up with Texas in the West. Seattle coming to life. The big dumper hit his 7th home run last night, a losing effort. Angels are struggling, as are the Astros, as we've talked about. In the east of the National League, Braves are already 7 games up. Oof. 7 games up on both Miami and Washington. Phillies, who've already fired their manager, did it today. And the Mets, they're both 9-19. Mets have lost 3 in a row. Reds game and a half up on the Cubbies, who've lost 3 straight after a 9-game winning streak. Pirates were no-hitting the Cardinals into the 7th inning last night. Wound up losing the game, but they're 2.5 off as St. Louis is 3 back, and the Brewers are 3.5, as we said yesterday. Still holds true today. Every team in that division above 500. Every team. And out west, Dodgers, they're a half game up on the Padres. Miller finally gave up his first run since August of last year. Some crappy umpiring helped do him in a little bit. Ball was foul. They ruled it fair. It is what it is. A non-reviewable play. Diamondbacks, Giants, and Rockies bringing up the rest of that division in the National League West. Again, Orioles tonight taking on the Astros. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. The rain is gone. It's going to be a little cloudy. It's probably going to be on the cooler side. But, Nolan, we're going to be outside today down at Pickles Pub. Me, Nolan, Ryan Ripken, getting you ready for game one of this series. Nolan, we have time for a call? Let's go to the phones. Another draft profile coming your way. Then inside access at 2. Let's go get Cliff in White Marsh. Cliffy, what's up?
Yeah, Bob, I need to be talked down off the ledge now. Usually I'm very lenient with regard to baseball schedules and all 162 games. The Orioles are closing in on 30 games right now. I saw, and it doesn't, the offense since the couple months into 2024 for this team, different characters, same team, has been sort of like a malaise. It's not even fun to watch. Now, I was watching the ball game Sunday, and the announcer said that the opposing pitcher, out of 24 Orioles, the first 24 that batted, he only threw a first pitch strike to 3 hitters, and the Orioles did not have 1 walk. Bob, that's almost it just boggles my mind. I mean, I'm not going to knock these players. I mean, they're making 20, 30, sometimes 40, 50 million a year. None of us have talent like this, but they just don't seem. Vinny used to always say it with football, you can't win with dumb guys. Man, they're showing signs of this not ending anytime soon, Bob. And I don't know what to think about it, but I'm almost embarrassed watching these guys. And I need to be talked down off the ledge because I don't want my whole summer gone. Well, I'll let you guys go.
I hear the wind blowing in the background. I hope he's not literally standing on the ledge. Cliffy, it's just a game, bro. I mean, look at the Mets and the Phillies before you start losing your mind and the Astros here. But their approach at the plate leaves a lot to be desired. And at some point in time, it does have to be, the onus has to be on the players. They've been playing baseball since they were children. I'm assuming that Gunnar Henderson didn't start playing baseball like when he was 20 years old. They've been playing forever. You learn the fundamentals, but the fundamentals of the game have changed over the years. When I played Little League, the first thing you could do before you took cuts when I was 10 years old is bunt.
Yeah.
And do it right or you couldn't swing. So that's the onus is on the game itself. The days of the 85 Royals and Cardinals playing that Astro turf, you know, gap hitting stuff. If you got a home run from Balboni or Jack Clark, so be it. Everyone swings for the fences. It's all about launch angles. It's all about exit velo. But how about a guy's on second? There's nobody out. Get him to third. And if you have to go the other way to hit a ground ball to second, so be it. Then a sac fly brings in the run. It's just these small things that they're not doing, hitting cutoff men. Throwing to the wrong base. Try overthrowing cutoff men because you're trying to make the hero throw. Just do the smart things that help get you to the – talent gets you here, but it's sooner or later because the game adjusts to you, then you have to adjust to it. I mean, they're not poor in the home run category. They're, you know, in top 10. But they're not bashing away like the Yankees are right now to cover up the warts that they have in other areas of the team. But Cliffy, calm down, man. It's only April the 28th. Now, we're here a month from now and they're below 500. Then you can maybe start climbing that ladder a little bit. When we come back, more draft profiles coming your way. Adam Randall, who's he? You're about to find out. And then it's Inside Access at 2:05 after a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Mr. Electricity ready to bring that smoke.
If you're thinking about it.
Every day.
We're talking about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
105.7 The Fan.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a hot take? The Plaza Ford text line. 410-583-1057. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Ravens were looking to add a new element to their offense by drafting a pair of tall, rangy receivers.
Jacoby Lane and Elijah Surratt will still have to carve out their own lanes in this cast of weapons, but both have the chance to make an instant impact in the red zone, especially Surratt, who hauled in 15 touchdowns for Indiana on their way to a national championship, reinforcing his appropriate nickname, Waffle House.
Really started at my sophomore year at JMU. I feel like every third down or something, they would give me the ball and I would convert on. And then my dad was, he went on social media talking about he's always open in Waffle House. It's a cool nickname, but it's also a mindset too. Like I said, those contested catches, I always feel like I'm open.
And Cooper Flagg has been named NBA Rookie of the Year, edging out former Duke teammate Con Knepel with 56 first place votes out of 100. He becomes the second youngest player to win the award behind only LeBron James after averaging 21 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. If you love playing Miss Pac-Man, you'll really love playing the new Miss Pac-Man Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. Please play responsibly. Miss Pac-Man is registered and copyrighted by BNEI. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, cloudy skies with temps around 60 all afternoon. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles, 105.7 The Fan.
Adams, a guy, is a former wideout. He's got a varied skill set. He does a lot of different things well. We think the best is yet to come with him as a running back. He's got really good hands. He can run routes. Possible kick returner, special teams guy. He's got a great body and good measurables.
Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, last weekend, talking about their third fifth-round draft pick. Converted wide receiver, kick returner, as you heard Eric say, out of Clemson. Let's talk about Vinny, Adam Randall.
Yeah, Adam Randall, Clemson, 6033, 232, ran 4.50, 1.610, 32 3/8 arms, 9 3/4 hand, 37-inch vertical, 10.4 broad, all very good for that kind of size for a running back. 4.53 short shuttle, which is good. 26 reps, 2 1/4, very good. Now, in 2022, he played in 12 games. This is all at Clemson. Played in 12 games, one start at wide receiver. 10 catches for 128 yards. Tore his ACL in the spring. 2023, played in 13 games, 5 starts at wide receiver. 22 catches, 250 yards, 11.4 average, 1 kickoff return. 2024, played in 12 games, 1 start. 16 catches, 155 yards, 9.7 average, 2 touchdowns, 4 carries, 44 yards, 11.0 rushing. 3 kick returns, 73 yards. He moved to running back towards the end of the season. 2025, 168 carries, 814 yards, 10 touchdowns, started 13 games, 36 receptions, 254, 7.1 average, 3 touchdowns receiving. 9 kickoff returns for 213 yards. He was team captain, 4-star recruit. He graduated in 3 years, and he completed his master's. So he's a smart kid. Strength, size, athletic ability, strong short yardage runner, quick one-cut runner, good hands, shows a burst, has kickoff return ability, has good speed, powerful goal line runner, moves the pile, keeps feet moving. Good one, quick one cut, has ability to make miss, good quick feet, shows a burst, adjusts well to high, low, behind throws, breakaway speed for size. He can break tackles, good vision as a runner, strong lower, protects the ball well, combine numbers were outstanding, generate over 500 yards after contact in 2025. He's a downhill runner. Weakness, he runs tall, which is typically, he just got to get his pads low consistently. 1 year starter running back. He'll need work in pass pro. He'll need a lot of work in pass pro, Bob. I mean, you're a wide receiver stepping up and taking them blitzing linebackers. He wants to catch them, you know. But he had 6 drops and 49 targets this year. So he had quite a few drops. Zone running is going to need a lot of work, you know, reading it. And he didn't do it at Clemson because they just run the one back, give it to him, just, you know, like run straight up. So nothing wide where he's got to read the blocking scheme, Bob, and then cut it up and stuff. He has no work in all of that. That's all going to be new to him. I said this kid's an intriguing prospect that has excellent size, speed, athletic ability, that has only played running back 1 year in his life because he was a receiver. He was like a freak in high school is what I read. Was always a wide receiver. He'll give you flexibility as a kickoff return man. He'll need to learn how to block. But with the Ravens, he can learn from Henry with similar size and can take his time. If I'm the running back coach, I would love the challenge of coaching and developing and teaching this kid because I'm sure he's a sponge. Bobby, smart as hell, got a master's degree in 4 years. So I would think that I really like what this kid, the potential of this kid. 1 year running back and how he looked, you know, I mean, he's got some traits of Derrick Henry, but he catches the ball and runs routes better than Derrick Henry, and he could run kickoff returns. So I'm very intrigued, and I can't wait to watch this guy out at the OTAs and stuff. I think Bisciotti did a hell of a job with this one.
Yeah, it cost him some wine, but I think he can get over it for sure. But Lance Zierlein, NFL.com, projected this kid to be a fourth or fifth round draft pick. So he kind of fell right into that territory. Well, literally into the fifth round.
Yeah, because he is raw at the position and cannot pass block yet, you know. So who has the ability? I mean, Bob, if you're the kid, you're in the where can you go where the guy that is playing in front of you is basically your same size? Other people, Bob, compared him with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay.
You know, receiver, the kick returner, played some running back.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
So if he can turn, at worst case, he turns out like Cordarrelle Patterson, that's not bad. But I think the kid's got a chance. I think he's got a real good chance. I think that was in the fifth round, I think that's a hell of a pick. Last pick, you know, I mean, their last fifth round pick, I think it's a really good pick for them. And I think it's a great spot for the kid.
Eddie Faulkner is the Ravens running back coach, was in Pittsburgh with the Steelers.
Okay.
Last year. So you have Henry, Justice Hill. So Rasheen Ali probably up against it maybe once we get into all of this camp stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, I would say so, Bob. You know, I don't. I'd have to look at what Detroit and Chicago did, how many backs that they kept on the 53.
But that's our draft profiles for today. We have more to do starting tomorrow, so stick around for that. When we return, however, it's a trip through the Funhouse with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. That is Baltimore baseball tonight coming up at 5:30. Orioles taking on the Astros down at Camden Yards. Orioles after a day off trying to get back in the win column after dropping two in a row to the last place Sox. Astros, they're in last place. They stink on the road, too. They're 3-10. They have an opener on the mound. Can the Orioles get these bats early and often untracked down in Baltimore?
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Orioles start a series against the Houston Astros. Is this the week they get a win streak going? Will that Orioles Hall of Famer, part of our BBC crew, Mike Bordick, if they can get going offensively and pitching-wise? And we continue to ask people their opinion of the Ravens draft. NFL.com draft expert Chad Ryder joins the show.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Now, if you're thinking of moving this summer, but you haven't started the process yet because it's overwhelming, it's not too late. So if you don't want to spend a month getting your home ready, you don't need to settle for less money than your home is worth. You just need to call Lee Tessier, like the rest of us. Lee sees so many of those cash offers for your home, billboards, and gets the unsolicited texts, too. He gets how convenient they are to take. What he doesn't understand is why anyone accept an offer for 30% less than their home is worth. Now, when Lee makes the same cash offer for fair market value, Lee's dedicated to saving you time and stress, too. Now, with my buddy Lee's cash offer, there's no need for expensive repairs. You can sell your home as is and get paid what it's worth. So call Lee on age. I call if I had to sell my own. That man's my buddy Lee Tessier. Just give Lee a call at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. That's 410-638-9555. 855 or find listings at LeeTessier.com. And when you call Lee, start packing.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The top-seeded Detroit Pistons are officially on life support. Despite entering as 60-game winners, they dropped last night's contest to the Magic 94-88, falling into a massive 3-1 series hole. Cade Cunningham put up 25 points, but his 8 turnovers were backbreaking. Now Detroit has to win 3 straight starting Wednesday at home, or this historic season ends in a first-round disaster. I'm Maddie Bates.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
All right, Woman Crush Wednesday. That's coming your way tomorrow. Hopefully talking about the Orioles starting the series against Houston with a win. Talk more Ravens draft stuff for you. Creeping closer to the schedule reveal. I believe the week of May 13th is the estimated time around that part. We do know the Ravens will play in Brazil on week 3 against Dallas. That game's going to be 4:25 Eastern time on CBS. So we got that one coming your way. Got the NBA Stanley Cup playoffs very much through. Well, some teams have already gone home for the summer in both sports. A couple more could be going home tonight. We'll get into all of that. Hell, the draft lottery will be coming up soon for the NBA. So the Wizards can go in there with the most ping pong balls and wind up with the 7th pick in the draft, which will be a very Wizards-like thing to happen here, for sure. And we got Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday, believe it or not, as we're into the month of May. It is wild, wacky stuff. And yes, Nolan, I'm going there. We're about 6 months, 7 months away from putting the Christmas tree up. Yeah. So there we go.
If you didn't say anything, I would have thought something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
That's,
I got to do that, because I was digging around through the utility room, saw the tree yesterday. I said, yep. We put you up in about 7 months. It's got a life of its own. He'd like talk back. I was like, whoa. We're losing it.
That's a bad plot of a Christmas movie.
Yes, it is.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Texter here has a question. Says, does the Ravens' decision to draft 2 wide receivers back-to-back, also 2 wide receivers that are pretty similar in build and makeup, does that say anything about the way they feel about Tez Walker? It goes on, can everyone in this offense feast? Can the ball be spread around, I guess, is the point the Texter's making.
Well, I think the big thing is they're going to have competition. The only 2 guys, the 2 draft picks are the 2 that are contested catch-type guys. Otherwise, Tez Walker's not the contested catch-type. He's a speed guy. Bateman's really not the contested catch-type guy. So they got two guys that the style of play is different, and they're both big, 6'2.5 and 6'4.5. So they're different style. The 2 that they drafted are similar style than everybody else on the team.
Tez Walker, 7 career catches, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Talk about making it count.
See what the new coaching staff thinks about him or what kind of opportunity he gets, because the previous regime said all the right things about him, but it never actually translated to giving him a real shot. Let's see. Glenn and Perry Hall here says, I feel like outside of the Ravens' first pick, overall they missed in this draft. Too many specialty players, not enough bulk. Too many projects, not enough starters. You got a defensive end or a outside linebacker who can only stop the run. One-dimensional when it comes to pass rush. Your pass catchers, who are only going to get on the field for special teams. Undersized slot corner. Super Bowl teams in recent years have been built up through the trenches. Ravens need similar team-building philosophy.
Well, they took an old lineman at 14, and Zion Young will be able to, I think he's going to be able to help in the pass rush right away on the inside. You know, like Za'Darius Smith did for the Ravens when he had 8.5 sacks. Line up over the guard. He's a mismatch over the guard. And then I think the receivers are red zone and contested catch kind of guys. That's what they are. I mean, you got a 6'4.5 guy now for the red zone. they got some guys that are going to help in the red zone because they lost two tight ends that have made a lot of plays in the red zone. You know, and if Andrews, you know, takes a step back a little bit, you know, Zay Flowers not a great red zone guy. Bates, not a great room, because you got to have some physicality and be able to, you know, win down there playing basketball.
And last text of the day comes from Gene in Annapolis, who says, what's going to happen when the Orioles actually start playing good teams? I feel like they've had the benefit of an easier schedule to start the year and have still struggled mightily to beat up on them. Very concerned at this point, in my opinion. Colton Cowser, agree with Nolan and Bob, could use a stint down in the minors to really figure out what's going on at the plate.
As they say, reset. He might need a reset down at Norfolk, get his confidence back, get acclimated to them breaking balls, because that's all everyone's going to throw him. You throw him a fastball, that's shame on you. Even though he has zero home runs and only two doubles on the year. And look, they went to Kansas City, won two out of three, but the Royals were the worst scoring offense in baseball, and they were putting up crooked numbers against the Birds. And now they're taking on Houston last in the American League West, rather, and they have the highest ERA in Major League Baseball. So let's see if this offense that we've been kind of disappointed in can, you know, how about you score seven runs? You know, let's get out to a fast start, kind of maintain it, get Shane Boz that first win, and roll from there. But yeah, concerns are legitimate because this is a concerning team. Not only have they underperformed in certain areas, they're banged up in a lot of other ones as well. But the Houston's like, yeah, we got more players on the IL than anyone. So stop with your excuses. We're back tomorrow. We'll be crushed Wednesday tonight at 5:30. Me, Nolan, Ryan, Rick, and live for Pickles. You're going to the game. Stop by, say hello. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
I'm Pat Boyle, here to help you get the most from Western One Sports. Celtics Sixers Game 5, and I expect Boston's offense to operate at a high level. Celtics team total points is 112.5. They've gone over this in two of the four games of this series. It'll come down to how well Boston shoots the three ball. The reason I like their team total over is how Philly's perimeter defense looked at Joel Embiid on the floor last game. Not good. Boston just worked him into several actions to get open looks from deep. Going over on their team total. I'm Pat Boyle, best runner and beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. ethos.com/game. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.